I think it's safe to say that these are some of the most difficult, most challenging readings that we come across in the lectionary cycle. And it's even difficult to read that gospel. If any of you were able to hear these words and not squirm a little bit in your seat, please see me after Mass. I want to know your secret. Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tightly. The vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, for he remembers their sins in detail. Could anyone nourish anger against another and expect healing from the Lord? Could anyone refuse mercy to another? Can he seek pardon for his own sins? If one who is flesh cherishes wrath, who will forgive his sins? Tough. Who hasn't struggled with forgiveness? And reflected in the gospel, who of us is not guilty of refusing to share the same mercy that God has shared with us? But in both this first reading and in the gospel, there's a contingency clause. If we don't share mercy, then God will not be merciful towards us. We force God to deny himself, because the responsorial psalm so beautifully tells us about God's mercy and his compassion, how he doesn't requite us according to our works and our sins, and they're so far as the east is from the west. But he cannot bestow that mercy upon us if we sit in our bowl of vinegar with our clenched fists, taking score and keeping tabs. This is why St. Paul tells us in that second reading that we are not our own, that we don't live and die for ourselves. But it's in the sacrament of baptism that our lives are radically changed. And it's in that sacrament of baptism, the waters of rebirth, where the Lord pours forth his mercy upon us. And from that moment on, we have no right to take score and to hold grudges, because we've been adopted into the family of God with the expectation that we treat each other the same way God has treated us. And in just a moment, we'll pray the Our Father. We pray it every day. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. We're giving God permission to treat us the same way we treat each other. It's a challenging, challenging lesson we have today. This is why, as disciples of Jesus Christ, the crucifix needs to be central to our life. We need to study the passion of the cross, not just during Lent and on Good Friday, but regularly, to pray the stations of the cross, to meditate upon the passion account in the Gospels, to sit in silence reflecting as we gaze upon the crucifix, as a daily reminder of God's mercy bestowed upon us, so that we in turn can share that with others. We're in the gospel, we're finishing chapter 18, that section where Jesus is really filling in the gaps about the early church, and especially the church's leadership, where we had about fraternal correction and how do we bring the sinners back into communion. And so today Peter's trying to clarify. So if my brother sins, like, so how often do I do this? How often do I bind and loose? Because this is what confession is all about. This is what, when Jesus says you have the power to bind and the power to loose, it's about forgiving sins. How many times do I have to do this? Seven? Which maybe some of us know that the number seven in the scriptures is a significant number. It means complete, total, satisfied. Jesus says, no, not seven times, 77, or some translations say 70 times seven. Meaning it doesn't matter. Don't quit trying to tally up how many. You can never get there. It's endless. God's mercy towards you is endless, and your mercy towards others must be endless. And he tells that story, that parable, about the man who owed, our translation says, a large amount, a huge amount. It was thousands of days of wages, maybe hundreds of thousands of days of wages that the man owed. And his friend who owed a much smaller amount was about 3 months' worth. Jesus is giving us the example of, regardless of the pain that we have felt, the burden of betrayal, nothing compares to the weight of one sin which Jesus has forgiven us on the cross. We could never repay the debt from one sin. But through the love and the mercy of the passion of Jesus Christ, our debt has been forgiven. How could we not share that with someone else? But this is why we need to know the reality of sin in our life. It's not because Father David loves to preach about sin. But there's no good news if we're not aware of the bad news. If we're not aware that we have a debt that we could never pay. And Jesus is anxious to repay it for us. If only we forgive our neighbor. If only we forgive our brother. So, if you're one of the ones who did squirm as we're hearing these readings today, who do you need to forgive? What happened today when you were driving or at Publix? What happened 60 years ago when you were a teenager? What pain are you holding on to, feeling entitled to be mad at someone for what they did to you? Today, Jesus says, let it go. It doesn't erase the pain that we feel, but it brings us to freedom. Sirach, that first reading says, the sinner clings tightly to wrath and to vengeance. We hug it like a teddy bear. We feel entitled like it's mine and like it gives me meaning and it gives me purpose. But in reality, we're clinging to the chains of slavery and the chains of death. This is a story of salvation. That our sin brought us into slavery. But Christ has set us free. And all throughout the Old Testament and in our own lives today, we so desperately desire so often to go back to slavery. Christ today is saying, let it go. Walk into the freedom that he died to give you. Our salvation, our freedom is dependent upon this. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That simple prayer can be the beginning of your path to freedom. This forgiveness is not necessarily something that you will be doing, but what the Lord will do through you. So who do you need to forgive? What pain do you need to be healed from? As you read the Passion, as you pray the Stations of the Cross, as you gaze upon the crucifix, just echo the words of Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.